All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David.
Yeah, my man.
Mark your calendar. Get your little daily planner out and put a big heart next to it and mark this weekend, the weekend of February 26th, as the beginning of the theatrical recovery.
That's what I love to hear.
Yep. Tom and Jerry leading the way. Tom and Jerry crushing box office expectations and leading the way. And again, we're not out of the woods. I'm not trying to say all is happy in Tinseltown, but I'm just saying, like, for the last year or so, we've been saying, once you bring good movies back, audiences will come back. And boy, this was on Saturday we had, and we're still selling tickets today, Sunday, but on Saturday we had our busiest day, including Wonder Woman, busiest day since March of 2020.
Really?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So we're pretty.
Yeah. I was at the theater last night and I rolled in and I was like, is the president here? Like, what is going on? This parking lot is packed.
Yeah. So we got the COVID restrictions.
Yeah.
So we can't even sell a full house. So we had Tom and Jerry on eight different screens.
Did you get a chance to watch this movie?
I have not, but I've been around it so much this weekend that I feel like I've seen it.
let me ask you this though. Do you think it's a good movie?
Yes.
I mean, obviously it's good for families, but do you think that you would enjoy it if you watched it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's Pixar or, you know, I'm not saying you're going to go in and admire, like, oh, isn't this wonderful? But if you want a silly kids movie that is what it is, then yeah. I mean, we're getting people who are like my age who are like, I'm just coming because, I watch the cartoon as a kid, and the guy's buying tickets and he's asking me, is Butch in it? You know, that's the dog. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember, there's a dog in Tom and Jerry. And, I think there's some nostalgia and people are into it. And I tell you one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, and I'm kind of glad they don't, because I don't, you know what a drag stingers are for movie theater staff. Right. We're trying to get in there and clean the theater, right? You guys go in and you trash the place and we need to get in there and clean it and turn it around because we got another audience coming, right? And when there's a stinger, like all those Marvel movies, it's so tough because the audiences are huge. And then everybody sits there, you know, through most of the credits waiting for the stinger. And some people sit there until the end of the second end of the credits. So I will say this little Tom and Jerry movie has a stinger at the end of the credits.
Oh, no. Nobody knows?
I mean, just judging from the dozen shows that I've cleaned, there's never been anybody who has stayed. maybe somewhere there is, but it's funny because Colin Jost is in Tom and Jerry. I don't know if you remember, he has a small role in it. And it's him, you know, so you're sitting there and then all of a sudden there's Colin Jost and it's funny. I mean, it's not hilarious, but pretty funny. I think the fact that there's a Tom and Jerry stinger is the funny.
Yeah.
Like just the fact that it exists is what makes it funny.
So speaking of staff and cleaning and stuff, I saw our movie this week and at the end of it, Encyclopedia Brown was waiting right there in the theater to come talk to me, see what I thought.
Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, he was like, what's up? What'd you think? And I was like, hey, you know, talking to him. And then it happened right in front of the manager. I dropped my drink all over the floor.
Oh.
And we just looked at each other, locked eyes, and I was like, I'm so sorry.
They were just like, I gotta go. Yes.
I need to get out of here as quick as possible.
What's that? I'll be right there.
Yeah. Embarrassing.
Oh, that's a drag. That's a drag. I had something similar happen. You know, when you drop something like that, we don't expect you to clean it up. That's our job. That's why we're there. We don't want you to clean it up. But you're supposed to go through some polite, like, it's like when you're at the dinner with your parents and you're like, I'll get the bill. And then dad's like, oh, no, I'll pick it up. And then you say, no, really, I can get it. But then you know that he's going to take the check, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever expect, and I don't ever want a customer to clean up after themselves. But I was with this lady in Ephrata today, and she dropped a medium popcorn right on the counter, spilled it all over the counter. And that's fine. That happens. I didn't think anything of it. And then I said, I'll clean it up. And then she goes, yeah. I was like, well, you're supposed to go. You're supposed to like go through the motions of pretending that you want to like help or be polite or be like, oh, no, let me get it. And then I'll say, oh, no, I insist, please. And I was like, I'll clean that up. And she's like, yeah.
Encyclopedia Brown was like, he just looked, he picked, because he was on the other side of the aisle and it fell through the seats. And we were in the back row, so he picked it up. He picked up the cup and he's like, that's what the cleaners are for. It was cool.
Well, the only good thing is I have to assume that if this happened towards the end of the movie, then you must have drank some of the drink.
Yeah, it was mostly empty.
Right.
Yeah.
You haven't lived till you've cleaned up a full large soda. You hand it over the counter to somebody and they drop it right there.
So much soda.
It's always the handoff that gets you. Although now that I think about it, that doesn't really happen anymore because of the freestyle machine. Oh. I mean, we do still get spills, obviously, but the handoff is kind of a thing of the past, really.
How about that?
Take a moment for the handoff.
Times are changing.
They are. I tell you something else that's changing. This is our 110th episode.
Can you believe it?
We made it through 109 episodes without ever talking about Daft Punk.
I know. Well, I don't know if that's true.
Oh, it's definitely true.
You tell me we've never talked about the Tron Legacy soundtrack?
I stand corrected.
Because that's why this is news.
I stand corrected. My bad.
Talking about things going the way of the soda handoff.
Right.
Daft Punk split up this week. They released a 7-minute video of them splitting up. I'm assuming amicably, but that they're done. To me, I wonder why they're even going to make music for movies anymore, because they already had the best soundtrack ever made.
Tron
Legacy. Yeah. Why even try? I mean, we should just go back to talkies.
Get a guy up front and playing the upright piano.
Yeah.
narrating the film.
Yeah.
Oh, so, boy.
How do you feel about that? Are you shaken?
I don't think I'm shook quite as much as you are.
This is a big thing. I know that that Frodo wrote in about this to make sure that we knew.
Right.
And I totally agree. It's big news. She was a fan of their movie, Interstellar 555. So am I. That's great. If you like Daft Punk, great way to experience their music. Anyway, it's a sad day in Tron Legacy fans' worlds. And I will forever be changed.
Yeah.
So tell me about this DC Superman drama.
Well, I feel like maybe you should be the one to tell us about this DC Superman drama, but I'll tell you what I observed.
Yeah.
And I didn't dig into it too much because I'm not completely up to speed. I don't know all the players. I don't really – I mean, I kind of do. I kind of get it. This is all spinning off of – this is all boiling up under the soon-to-be-released Snyder Cut of Batman vs. Superman.
Okay.
Right? Is that the Snyder Cut or is the Snyder Cut Justice League?
Well, it's Justice League, yeah.
Justice League, right. So Justice League is coming out and it's stirring the pot. And it was recent, so it's basically, you have Marvel, right?
Right.
Marvel, pardon my French, Marvel has their shit together.
Right? I don't know those French words.
they make good movies. Their fans love them. And then they make great TV shows that their fans love. And and everything is merry and marvelous in Marvel World. Right?
Right.
Then you have DC. DC is such a train wreck that they will actually take movies that they've already put out and then re-release them under like the Snyder Cut, but don't put them in movie theaters. TV shows, but not theatrical. But it's just so like it's such a mess. And what comes with that mess, and it's kind of interesting. You know how fans of a certain music group often reflect that group?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's kind of the thing. Like the DC people who are big into DC are so dramatic about their content. But, right. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right. All right. So I couldn't tell if you were laughing at me because I just said something so stupid.
Well, no, I thought you were going to say people who like the DC movies are such a mess, just like the DC. I thought that's where you were going.
No. I'm just saying they sort of stir the pot and add to the drama of the DC. And so now it was announced that there's going to be a new Superman cast, and perhaps that the Superman would be African American, a black Superman.
Okay.
Right. And people went nuts. And I'm not even going to comment on the racist side of that, because that's not worth even my breath. But the part that caught my attention is how much people love Henry Cavill, or Cavill, or however you say his name.
Right.
People love Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck, and they're like, if Henry and Ben are out, I'm out.
Yeah, that's not going to last. As soon as they're that way up until the movie comes out, then they're like, oh, no, this is the newest version of Superman. It's the best, and I love him forever.
Yeah, and that's the one that J.J. Abrams is working on with the guy with the name that I can't pronounce, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that looks dope. I think it looks really good. I can't wait, personally. Like, so there's all this drama and all this, like, it's just drama.
Yeah.
But from my personal opinion, I think it looks awesome. And who are you going to trust better than J.J. Abrams with Superman?
Right. If he gets Suicide Squad right, DC could be back.
Yeah.
It could be back.
I'm not of the opinion that DC is gone. David just left the show, ladies and gentlemen. Now he's drinking vodka straight from a bottle.
I don't know how to handle that.
I think saying that DC is gone is overdramatic. I will agree that maybe Wonder Woman 84 didn't live up to our best hopes, and I would agree that there have been some stinkers on the DC side, and I would agree that DC is not as good as Marvel. I would agree with all of that, but I'm just saying I'm not ready to totally write them off.
Right. Now, can we take a minute to admire the fact that I waited 2 weeks to build this wine bottle gag up for you, and your reaction was not enough.
I thought it was pretty good. This is why we need to record the video content, because yeah, I think right. That would have been funnier if our friends could have seen it too.
Yeah, I had a wine bottle full of water and dramatically drank out of. All right, moving on. So look, this is another one that Frodo was nice enough to send in to us, but I think it's great news. Avatar The Last Airbender, which is something that I've been a big, huge fan of for ages. And I'm always telling people, you got to watch this show. You got to watch this show.
Right.
I still have friends. I had a friend 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, came up to me and said he finally watched it. And it was amazing. And I'm like, where have you been? Duh. Anyway, the Netflix show got canceled. They now created a studio called Avatar Studios. And they're creating a full feature-length animated film in the Avatar universe. They didn't say where it's going to be. And they're also going to be creating other content to go out in other ways, both theatrical and streaming. So this is great news if you are an Avatar The Last Airbender. Yes, that is not James Cameron Avatar, just to be clear. I know that can be confusing. So, yeah.
That can be confusing.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm just going to put it out there that I've been confused before on this particular aptly named dilemma. I'm excited about this. I remember the Airbender came out, the last theatrical one, and there were some disappointed audiences. Some folks felt like it didn't live up to the hype and blah, blah, blah. What did you like the movie when it came out a number of years ago?
No.
The movie
is a bad adaptation.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're hoping that this is a better shot.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Okay.
So get this. You know, with HBO, you've got this thing going day and date. Straight into streaming.
Yep.
Disney's kind of like all over the place with how they're handling stuff.
Yep.
I think this is what, Universal, right?
No, Paramount.
A Quiet Place 2 and Mission Impossible 7 will get 45-day theatrical windows before also releasing on their streaming service, Paramount Plus. So, yep. 45 days. What do you think about that?
I have a opinion that I think will be in the minority among my theater owner trade organization. And as one of the members of the board of directors for the Pennsylvania Association of Theater Owners, I may in fact be signing my name to letters to the contrary, but here's Penn Ketchum's personal opinion.
Okay.
45 days, great, who cares?
Yeah.
Like I don't need the content more than 4 weeks. Anything after 4 weeks is gravy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think I've talked about this on the show before. Like, typically on Monday morning when I'm booking movies, my pressure is not, oh God, I need movies. I mean, it has been the last few months, but that's pandemic rules. You know, in a normal scenario, my problem is not getting movies. My problem is I'm arguing to get rid of movies. Last week I held over Monster Hunter for one show a day as a personal favor to my film rep at Sony just because she was in a jam. Just because she needed a hand. So I held Monster Hunter over only just as a personal favor. It didn't need to stay another week. I don't care. So 45 days is basically 4 or 5 weeks. I honestly, it's not a popular opinion among theater owners, but I think 45 days is fine. It's certainly not going to affect my bottom line.
Well, here's something I want to point out, because I think that's a good way to look at it. I mean, definitely a change from perspective before, but I think one of the things that helps that change in perspective is look at the biggest movie, the movie that you are saying is heralding the return to theaters.
Right.
It's on streaming right now.
Right.
It's on HBO Max.
Right.
People could go watch it at home, but they're choosing to come to the theater.
And right.
I think that that's a good sign.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And I, you know, you hear people talk and then you say put your money where your mouth is. I'm a firm believer and I will stand by my product, which is the theatrical experience. My product is the experience of going out to the movies. I believe in it. I stand by it. You can't replicate that. It's we're not selling the content. We're selling the experience. I stand by that. I've said it all along since the very first episode. And I believe in it enough that, you know, if you want to tell me a movie is available at home 45 days later, I'm not worried. I'm not threatened by that.
Good.
And I also think I will make a little bit of a prediction here. I think that studios, when they do get a Star Wars or an Avengers or a Dune that's just crushing it, you'll see that 45 days become 60 days.
Stretch out, yeah.
Or, yeah, you'll see that expand because they're no dummies. They know they're making more money theatrically than they are at home. There's no two ways about it. So yeah, absolutely. And I'm not threatened by that and I stand by it. And yeah, Tom and Jerry is available on HBO right now. And I have two theaters here in Ephrata full of families who came out and paid full price movie tickets to see it in a movie theater because they wanted to have a special memory when they all did something together as a family. They came out together. They were laughing, teasing each other. That we had a good time, you know. And that's part of what my job is as a staff person at a movie theater is to create that special experience, you know, so that, you know, you sort of have that fun memory and, you know, maybe they're in there right now making fun of me and that's cool. That's part of the experience. You know what I mean? That's part of the fun of the family. Hey, did you see that goofy guy? You know, saw it as a pop. What was with his sneakers?
Yeah,
you know?
I threw popcorn all over the counter just to make him do something.
Right. So anyway, yeah. So Paramount announced Quiet Place 2 and Mission Impossible 7 will stream 45 days after theaters. I found that great news, not only for all the reasons just that I just said, but also what I read behind that is that these two movies are not going to get pushed further back.
Yeah.
And I think I said to you before the show started, that's what I'm most excited about with Tom and Jerry is Tom and Jerry crushed the box office this weekend, way past expectations. And that tells me that New York City opens on March 5th. Movie theaters in New York City can open on Friday. And the combination of New York City opening and Tom and Jerry absolutely crushing the box office tells me that we are done, maybe with some exceptions. And certainly James Bond, No Time to Die, has been moving so long. I think that's like just their like default. They'll probably move it again just for the fun of it. But that's like the exception to the rule. I think we're done moving movies. I don't want to be overdramatic and you know, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I do. I think we're done moving movies.
Wow. I could want that. I mean, good. I hope so.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Finally, some of these movies. Well, look, something you should be scared of. Spider-Man 3 got an official title.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. It's Spider-Man No Way Home. And
what were the first ones? It was like
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Homecoming, Far From Home, and No Way Home.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Spider-Man 4 Home Alone.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, this will be Tom Holland's last film that he's contracted for, which is he said he'd gladly come back for more. He's like, unlike Robert Downey Jr. and them, like they're like, I'd do more if the money is right. Tom Holland's right. Like, just say anything, and I'm back. Like, just look at me, and I'm already here. You know, like he said that in the quote that, you know, this changed his life, and he'd be a fool to turn away from it. So
yeah. It's interesting. It sounds like he's acting like the way we would act. He's not acting like a movie star.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You want me in Spider-Man again? Yeah. Sure.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, man. No problem. When do we start? Where do I go?
Right. Right.
Yeah. You know what else is cool or at least interesting? You mentioned Tom Holland. This coming Friday, New York City opens and Raya and the Last Dragon opens and Chaos Walking with Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley. Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's cool.
The movie that was filmed like a million years ago.
Yeah, you know, it's funny they don't talk about that.
It's weird.
The studio. Yeah. Studio doesn't talk about that. So Spider-Man 3, No Way Home. I think that's cool. Doesn't tell you much, but I like. I don't know. This is corny. But I like that they're sticking with a theme.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's
pretty good. Really, it gives it some continuity. It, you know, it puts them together. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Wesley Snipes.
My man, Wesley Snipes.
He's still at it.
Thank God.
And in a conversation with UpRocks, Wesley Snipes revealed he's working on a new project he believes is, quote unquote, going to smoke all the Blade stuff. How do you feel about that?
So remember how we said Tom Holland is acting like a regular guy and not like a movie star?
Yeah.
I feel like Wesley Snipes is also acting like a regular guy, except he's acting like a regular guy who, I shouldn't say anything because I don't know, but I feel like this is a has-been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like in 20 years, Tom Holland is going to be like, I'm going to make this great movie and it's going to smoke all the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like if the movies, all right, here's one for you. All right. Let me put this out there. The history of movies had a Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Would Wesley Snipes get voted in?
No.
No, right? Okay. So he's not a Hall. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer either. He's a movie star. At one point, he was a big movie star, but I don't think he's iconic. I don't think he was ever great enough. I don't know. I'm not trying to throw too much shade because I'm sure he's a decent guy or whatever. But also, David, what is David?
Yes.
What is UpRocks?
It's a website.
Is it a popular one? Am I like a nerd for not knowing it?
Well, I think a nerd would know it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know.
Maybe you spend too much time running than invested in nerddom.
you're probably right. I ran in the rain this morning.
You're wagering on a jock.
Right. All right. So whatever. So Wesley Snipes revealed a new project. Do we know anything about the project other than the fact that he thinks it's going to be better than Blade?
No. And we never will. We'll never hear about it again.
Yeah.
So last news here. Angel Manuel Soto, director of last year's Charm City Kings, has been tapped by Warner Brothers to direct the Blue Beetle movie. Now, this will be the first Latin American-led superhero movie, which is awesome. I actually really think Blue Beetle is a great hero, and I think this is awesome.
I do, too. And I think this goes hand-in-hand with the news about possibly getting a Black Spider-Man. Superman. And isn't it interesting that Warner Brothers is related to both of those news stories? Do we see Warner Brothers as a leader in diversity in Hollywood? Maybe. I'm not saying they are or not or whatever, but I mean, I think both of those news stories are cool, and they've also done a lot for Patty Jenkins and supported her, and cool. Yeah. I'm down for a Blue Beetle movie. Did we know about this movie? I never heard of this movie until just now.
I didn't know they were going to make it a movie. I mean, I know Blue Beetle. I would have thought he would have been like a side character in a Justice League movie or something.
Gotcha.
So, but all right. Well, now we can move on to our trailers this week, because that's all we have for news. Finally. Because we've got two trailers, and only one of them's coming to theater, but the other one needed to be watched.
I tell you, these are two completely different trailers, and yet I could argue both of them to be my trailer of the week.
I know, right? That's why I was like, you have to see this other trailer, even though it's not coming to theater. It's too ridiculous not to. All right, so first let's talk about Luca, which is the next Pixar film. And we've seen only tidbits about this. We didn't really know what it was fully about. And I thought, one, I like the way they do the characters in this. I think that's great. And I think the premise is really cool of these sea creatures pretending to be humans, but if they get wet, they look like the sea creatures again.
Oh, boy.
And there's just some comical scenes in the trailer that I think this will be fun.
Some shenanigans. The movie looks amazing. I was hesitant at first. And don't get me wrong, because I'm 100% on board. I can't wait. I think the movie looks amazing. But were you thrown off a little bit at first? Here's a few things that threw me off. The music made me think I was watching a Coco trailer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's obviously it's set in Italian.
Yeah.
But the music that was being played in an Italian-like fashion was an old American folk song.
Yeah.
Like wouldn't you play find some Italian, Italian has an incredible history of rich music.
Yeah.
Classical and folk and otherwise everything in between. So those two things threw me a little bit at first, but once they got into what the movie was going to be about and they showed a little bit of, the water and, stuff like that, I think this trailer looks amazing. I went ahead and put it on all in front of all my Tom and Jerry movies. I'm excited for Luca, another Pixar. I bet you it's going to be another home run for them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, the next movie we have is only going to streaming, and it's made by Shudder, and it's called Slacks.
Wait, is this a Pixar movie?
I wish.
This is the opposite of a Pixar movie.
S-L-A-X-X. And if you like stupid, funny things, go watch this trailer.
Which you probably do if you're listening to this podcast.
So true.
We walked right into that one. Boop, boop.
Slacks. It's the premise is pants, jeans that that automatically fit to you. Like when you put them on, they just they fit. One of the pairs of pants comes to life and starts killing everybody.
So I had two favorite parts of this trailer. The first is right at the I can't even say it with a straight face. Right at the beginning of the trailer, I just love people. I love people so much because this is totally the kind of thing I would do. It says from the producers of Turbo Kid. Now listen, if you make, like at the beginning of Luca, it says from the people that brought you Coco and Inside Out, you know, and they list all the, like, if I was gonna say, like, if you're the team that brought us Pixar movies, then you put that shit at the front of your trailer, right? But these guys that made the Slacks trailer, they were like, oh, we gotta tell everybody this is from the producers of Turbo Kid. What?
Why does anyone care?
Right.
Man, the part that got me really hooked is they show the pants kill someone.
Right.
And then there's two people. They're like, we got to call the police. And they're like, we can't. We're under lockdown right now, whatever that means. Right. And he's like, do you think there's a murderer? And then they just show like a body stuffed into a drawer, like all cut up. And the girl's like, yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, but you know what, David?
Yeah.
This movie speaks one of the many eternal truths. I mean, you and I have said it time and time again.
Multiple times.
Right. The genes may kill you, but it's a small price to pay for an awesome ass. That's the quote from the end of the movie.
Yep. Yep.
Small price to pay.
All right. Well, check out Slacks for a comical trailer. Are you ready to get into this week's movie review?
I am. Wait, let me blurry my screen here, and then I'll really be ready.
All right. This week we watched Billie Eilish, The World is a Little Blurry, right? Or The World is Blurry, whatever it is.
Something like that.
Something like that. A documentary about Billie Eilish. Now, you're pretty knowledgeable on this young lady, right?
I am. Yep.
Like it's basically like she grew up in your house, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I went into this only kind of knowing like two songs.
Right.
And I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was a very cool, like, real look into this young lady's life. And there's a lot of things that I thought was really interesting about Billie Eilish and the fact that, like, she came from, like, I don't know if it's middle class or whatever family, right? And
right.
All throughout the whole thing, even up through winning the Grammys, like some things change, but not a lot changes in her life.
Yeah, she seems very grounded. You know when somebody asks you, like, what's the most embarrassing thing that you ever did?
Yeah.
You don't ever tell them the actual most embarrassing thing. You just tell them the funniest embarrassing thing that you can think of, right?
Right.
Right. Because the most embarrassing thing, you're not going to share that.
Right.
You want to forget that ever happened. And that's what I feel like a lot of documentaries are. Like when I think about like Michael Jackson documentary or Justin Bieber's movie. But this movie with Billie Eilish, I feel like was the real deal. You know what I mean? It felt... Like a lot of times they say documentaries like this, they call it like the uncensored behind the scenes, but then you really kind of feel like it's a little bit like everything's like a little prettied up and a little set up and a little polished. This felt raw, you know, this felt honest. And I felt for the first time in watching a superstar like Billie Eilish, like comparing her to other superstars, this was one of the first movies I've ever seen where you do feel like you were really getting a personal behind the scenes, like this is what she really is. And it also made me feel like she was incredibly well-grounded for having, you know, been through what she's gone through in the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think largely that grounding is her being her parents,
right?
Heavily involved. One of the great parts that you see is like when she starts to drive and her dad's just talking about like the difficulty of letting go and how you have to, or you know you live in denial.
Yeah.
So
no, it's remarkable. And you know what I thought about you a couple times, like it was a couple years ago, or maybe at least a little more than a year ago, that we talked on this show, like pre-COVID, about Billie Eilish is singing the new James Bond movie.
Right.
And you see how young she is, she was even younger when she got hired to do the James Bond film. Like, it's remarkable the things that she is already doing at such a young age and still maintaining, you know, being true to herself.
Right. And so first off, I'm totally a fan now.
Me too.
Like, it turns out I pretty much like all the music that I've heard.
Yeah.
And the people were saying, oh, she ruined the Bond. It's a bad theme or whatever. And I hadn't listened to it because I wanted to wait till the movie came out. But after hearing some of it last night, I was like, well, I got to go listen. And I listened to it. One, it's great. Two, it sounds like every other Bond. Like,
right.
Like it, right. It's not like it's like some groundbreaking new,
right.
new type of theme style or anything. It sounds like a Bond theme. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Call Adele and tell her, you know.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, I will say, in case there's anyone who's sort of on the fence, as a movie, I'm not sure this was great. Mm. You know, like it was great to me because it was so interesting and I was totally into, you know, I was captivated by this amazing performer and, you know, her music and her art and her family and all that kind of stuff. But as a movie, I felt like it just sort of was like, blah, 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 blah. Music, family, behind the scenes, music, family, behind, like, I don't know. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah. Like I was definitely, so here's the thing. I think it was really well done in the fact that I like that it started with home video stuff that like wouldn't even normally be.
Right.
And then it wasn't until she got more famous that the cameras became cameras.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool, but there was almost like, because of that, it was just random home videos. It was almost like there wasn't a direction as to where it was going.
Right.
And I was fully on board with everything that was happening until the intermission.
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah, which only lasted 30 seconds. And there was a thing at the beginning of the movie that said, there's an intermission with the COVID stuff, don't get up. And it was like, why even have the intermission in the cut?
Right. We asked that same question when we got the content. We were warned about that weird thing, and we did not. Nobody knew why.
Yeah. And it's so short, you couldn't do anything anyway.
Right.
So it was right around there when it kind of felt like it might have been coming to a head, and then it just kept going.
Yeah.
Like, I liked learning all the things I learned in the second half of the movie.
That's what I'm saying.
But I also started to squirm. I was like, how long is this? And I looked it up. It was about halfway through the second half. I was like, wait, how long is this movie? Like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I was interested and I was into it and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But if I'm not into Billie Eilish and I'm not interested in her story, then this is not a great movie.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
If you're not interested in Billie Eilish, like here's, let me compare something. And I know this is TV versus movies, but I'm going to do it anyway. I would recommend the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance. I would recommend that to anybody because it's a compelling story. And it's so, the presentation is so well done. It tells an incredible story. It's fascinating. And that also time hops, you know, from old videos to new to, you know, all over the place. And the Last Dance is great, whether you're interested in Michael Jordan or not. Billie Eilish is great, but I'm going to say it's only great if you're interested in Billie Eilish.
Right. Or if you're open to being interested in Billie Eilish.
Okay, that's fair. Or if you're a huge fan of Kayla Ketchum.
Right.
Because if you love Kayla, right, yeah. If you love Kayla like we do, then you want, because she's Billie Eilish's number one fan.
I mean, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. I don't know if you, hey, how wild was that in that movie when Billie Eilish met Justin Bieber?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
That was so cool. Yeah. I'm not going to say that I cried, but I definitely welled up. I was choking back a little bit because that was a very touching, to see one superstar responding to another superstar. That was pretty cool.
It was so real. Yeah.
Yeah. To see her talking to her brother about it afterwards. Right. That was amazing.
Yeah. And one of the things that this really did is change my perspective of her, because I think what you see in the papers and stuff and not knowing her, she came across to me as being very spoiled and entitled in a lot of ways, but seeing now, like learning about her story, she's more of just a teenager.
Right.
And like thrust into this world and not
incredibly talented teenager.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gives the perspective to like some of the things she says. You're like, well, you know, if you were just asked this very adult question at 15 or 17, or, you know, like, what would your answer be? It might be that.
Right. So I thought one of the more interesting conversations was when she was talking to her mom about, or her mom and that producer lady about drugs, like, how should she answer this question?
Yeah.
And it was like, do I answer it honestly for who I am now, or do I answer it with an eye for, you know, am I going to get thrown? Is it going to be used against me when I'm 30 years old and I'm out smoking a joint? Right. Yeah, I mean, she didn't use those words, but that was what you imagined, you know, as the viewer. And I thought that was really interesting look into how people in the public manage their comments and what they do and do not talk about. Is I give her a lot of credit and her family for being true to herself. And I don't know. I thought it was cool. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. I'm not trying to talk negatively of it. I'm just saying.
That's much like a young Penn Ketchup on the Linecast saying, I would never have assigned seats or recliners in my theaters. I would rather shut down than have that. And then years down the road, look at him now.
I have a great track record of saying one thing and doing another. I stand by it.
I'm just waiting for you to milk a cow at the fair.
Oh God, that will never happen. I was already attacked by a cow. Isn't that close enough?
So he says. So
the great
he says.
Cow attack of 2018. Jesus, David, you don't know how close I came. I looked death in the eye.
And it mooed.
I looked death in the eye and it moved. That's the quote of the day right there, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Well, Billie Eilish, The World is a Little Blurry. We really liked it. I definitely recommend if you're interested or think you might be interested in her music, you should check it out.
For real.
Moving on to notes this week. We didn't have many. Frodo wrote us a couple times. We covered her stuff earlier in the news. She was letting us know what was up. But the big thing is, she wanted us to know this pun. She said, if you were mining and you found a natural deposit of it, would you pronounce it aluminum or aluminium? Either or. So how do you say it, Penn?
Well, I know that it's I know that the correct way is aluminum. But I routinely pronounce it aluminium just for the fun of it, because that's a lot more fun to say.
Actually, aluminium is the old English way and how they pronounce it in other parts of the world.
Okay, let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
We are not old or English.
I pronounce it aluminium.
For real or to be funny?
No, for real.
Do you pronounce it advertisement or advertisement?
Advertisement. But aluminium is spelt different.
Okay.
It has an extra I.
Okay. You know, that's one of my pet peeves, is people that put like a silent E, like the old tap house with O-L-D-E.
Like pterodactyl?
Yeah, exactly.
With the silent P?
Yeah. I'm actually okay with the silent P. It's the I'm okay with the silent letter if it's supposed to be there.
Because you don't want to hear anybody's P, is what you're saying.
Right. That's true, too.
All right. Moving on to what are you watching, what are you reading, what are you doing this week? What have you been up to?
Well, I tell you, I told you last week I announced my new favorite show, WandaVision. I'm flipping around, I'm watching stuff, but I had a very busy week, so the only thing that I watched of any worth commenting on is WandaVision, and I loved it. I thought that was an amazing, and I'll say the same, repeat myself, it makes me want to watch more Marvel. It makes me want to go back and rewatch some of these Marvel movies.
Yeah. What would you say to someone who's like, I don't know if I want to subscribe to Disney Plus. Is this worth it?
Yes, I do. Yes. Yes, I would say it is worth it. I think it's worth it on the show alone, but then I double down and say it's definitely worth it because it's worth it for the show alone, And then you'll be glad that you have Disney Plus because you can quick slip over and watch all the Marvel movies.
Right. And I don't know if you know about this or not, but apparently there's something Marvel every week for like the rest of the year.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
No, this brings us back to our earlier conversation about Marvel versus DC.
Because so WandaVision ends, then the next week we have behind the scenes WandaVision, and the week after that, Falcon and the Winter Soldier starts. Mm. Then you have Making of the Falcon and Winter Soldier. Then you have Black Widow, and then I think Loki starts right after that. Mm. So
can't wait. What are you up to?
You know, I didn't really consume much this week. I've been cramming the book Tower of Dawn by Sarah J. Maas for a review that I have to record tomorrow. So that has been all of my spare time, pretty much. So that's
it. Fair enough. We got a big week coming up. I'm excited for Raya and the Last Dragon.
Yeah, me too. I didn't realize that was already here. So awesome. Cool.
I have the poster up here in Ephrata. It's right across from where I stand, and I've been staring at it. And I don't usually geek out over good posters. You know, we don't talk about that on the show much, but there's something to be said for a good looking movie poster. Like the Tom and Jerry movie poster and the Raya and the Last Dragon poster, I think are both really effective examples. Or they are both examples of really effective posters that really grab your attention. They're bright. There's a lot of activity going on, and I'll just say the poster is doing its job because I'm listening to the trailer every time Tom and Jerry plays, and I'm watching the poster, and I'm excited for it to open. It opens Thursday night, actually. You don't have to wait till Friday if you can't hold out.
Wow.
So we have Ryan the Last Dragon and Chaos Walking both opening on Friday.
Can I ask you a deep personal question?
But of course.
How difficult is it to control your urge to want to draw mustaches on the posters?
It's pretty easy to control that because I know that later I'd be the guy that would have to scrub them off.
Fair enough,
right?
Yeah, you
right,
got it.
Right.
Cool. All right, well, next week we're going to be watching Raya. Look, if you guys want to be a part of the show, best way to do that is to shoot us an email, podcast@pencinema.com. We'll take your funny jokes, your unfunny jokes, your comments, your questions, and most importantly, your answers. We've even done some relationship advice. Not good, but we've done it.
Right.
So that's the best way to be a part of the show. Now, if you want to support the show, Pen, what's the number one way to do that?
Well, a lot of people will just tell a friend.
Right.
But what I like to recommend is you go to www.dmv.pa.us and you get a vanity plate for your vehicle.
Right. Yeah.
It says PCPC, Penn Cinema Podcast. Put that on your vehicle and everywhere you go, you'll be promoting the show.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have to, because I mean, a lot of people are doing this, you just get a number at like one.
Right. Right.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It'll be,
yeah.
It's going to be so popular. It's going to be, you're going to see that around.
Right. Well, I was on the phone with the governor the other day, and they are going to expand the number of digits that you're allowed on license plates to accommodate our fans.
Oh, good.
Doing the vanity.
Good.
Plates.
Good. Yeah. Thank God.
Finally.
All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care
and
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Nice. was awesome.
Good.
Yeah. Great. I'm happy.